It is that time
Where?
Of week.
Where's the hurricane?
Time for Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com to be with us for the 8 to 9 o'clock hour.
It's calm and serene in the studio.
It is calm.
No wind.
It is calm. I mean, look, PK's been here all week. The wind's been blowing all week. He's here Monday and Tuesday filling in for me, which I appreciate greatly.
A lot of hot air.
I'm sure.
That's for sure.
Paul Kuharsky joins us now here on the program. PK, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Your rant was one of the all-timers. Rex Rudd should have been taking notes. That is A, the way people should behave in such circumstances. B, what people should be bringing as a rant. And Rex Rudd doesn't come close to achieving that
no,
on a regular
no.
basis.
No, you definitely should kiss Robbie's ass because you're late. No, that's a good strategy.
Thank you very much.
Look, I was even, you know, part of the reason I put it on there today, PK, was to do him a favor because I know he's had 3 days in a row of, you know, having to come up with rants around you, which makes him nervous. So I figured I'd take one for the team today.
And yesterday's rant was kissing my ass.
So, PK, a lot to get into with you today here on the program. I do want to start with the Ben Johnson stuff, which we talked about earlier. So you get through this whole off-season process here. And the Titans identify their coach pretty early on in Brian Callahan. And it felt to me like a foregone conclusion that Ben Johnson was going to end up taking one of these available jobs. And I thought all along the Washington job made the most sense because you've got the draft pick coming up with the quarterback, which everybody assumes is going to be Drake May. You got the new ownership group in place as well. You've got an ability to flip that roster over. And Ben Johnson, for the second year in a row now, has turned down being a head coach, apparently. And he's going back to be the offensive coordinator with the Lions. Number one, how surprising is that to you? And number two, given the way that everything's played out, do you think the Titans may have made out the best here with their coaching search, especially with the new guys that have been hired here?
Well, I'd come to terms with the Ben Johnson thing a while ago. I think most people had. Is he scared, Joe? I mean, the happiest guy here is Dan Campbell. We talked about this ability to replace his coordinators, and he gets it for another year.
Nah, still he thinks maybe this means Dan Campbell's out. Maybe that's what it is.
That is not what it is. Stilly. Let it be said that I'm in my chair.
You are.
You know, I just think it's a little weird, but maybe the guy says, look, I'm in a really good situation. I don't love the Washington situation. But if he expects for another deep playoff run, he's going to be in the same situation in terms of the coaching timing. And we've talked about this. The coaching timing thing is an issue. You know, they may revisit it, but I don't know what the magic solution is. I think Tony Dungy's solution is – unrealistic to not let teams do any hiring until after the Super Bowl's over. I think it's a lot to ask teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs in November and maybe fire their coach in season to have to wait to proceed with their business until the second week of February.
Let me throw this out. We've got a lot of theories today on the show.
We do.
I mean, some people have self-awareness, and some people are like, you know what? I should be a position coach. I should be a coordinator. And he sees Dan Campbell like, burr, burr, in front of the room. He's like, that's not me. You know, I call plays, and I'm a smart guy.
It. Yeah, there are different ways to do it. I mean,
sure.
The thing is, if he legitimately says, I'm not, I just don't want to be a head coach, it just taints him in the eyes of everybody.
I don't think he would ever say it. I'm sure he'll eventually leave, right?
You know what I mean, though? People would just be like, you don't aspire to the to the biggest thing?
Sure.
Fair or not, I would say that.
Might just be the Washington job. I get the Washington job looking attractive, but maybe he thinks Drake May is going to be a bust, you know, and that's who he's going to be with. I don't know. I mean, that's probably what they're going to have, right? They're going to have Drake May.
Here's what happens, though. Here's the risk you run. Detroit gets hurt next year. You know,
sure.
And Green Bay has a fantastic year. And there's no guarantee. Campbell said it himself in the locker room within 15 minutes of losing the game. Hey, this might have been it.
Yeah.
And so if that's it, your stock's never as hot as it is right now. And with the new ownership in Washington, you've got a lot of hand. And you can do what Canales just did with Tepper and if they really want you, which it seems like the indications are that they really wanted you, you simply push and push. You get yourself a 6-year contract, and you're guaranteed some, you know, you hope it goes well, but if it doesn't go well, you've got yourself an awfully nice cushion, and then you could go back to doing what you were doing so well, and you'd be a very popular coordinator candidate when the balloon bursts. Yep.
So, PK, you've been doing some work on the Titans coaching staff as Brian Callahan tries to round out what he's putting together here as a new hire. And obviously, you got to look at the current staff that's there and make some decisions on who stays, who goes. What's the latest and what you found out about Brian Callahan and his ongoing pursuit to put together this coaching staff?
Well, inside linebackers coach Bobby King and his assistant Zach Kerr are gone. Offensive line coach Jason Hoteling is gone. Rob Moore is now the wide receivers coach with Carolina. We know Tony Dews is the Jets running back coach. Frank Perano, I can never remember his title.
Director of Sports Performance
is currently in place. And my understanding is there is no hurry to make a decision on him. They want to get the quote-unquote on-field staff in order before they get to addressing him. And that makes a little bit of sense to me as well, in that they've got guys doubtlessly working out in the building right now, and you would want them to be supervised. Though you can make a move with him and keep one of his assistants for the time being while you restock that position. But I was thinking as I reported that there could not necessarily that's at the forefront of your mind, but that's another reason not to be in a hurry with that job.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, it's funny because obviously Harbaugh just left Michigan, and all the Michigan fans are hate him now again because he took Ben Herbert, who is their strength coach. They love this guy, and he was like the secret sauce, along with Connor Stallions, to all their success. I guess I hear you. It makes sense, unless, like, you also would kind of help. Like, do you have someone in your past on that front that you would like to bring in? Because I do feel like I think that side of it, way more than the medical side of it, is fair to look at when it comes to the way things have gone with the Titans.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think there's an indication that he is bound to stay. I just think
but there's only so much you can address at
one time. You know, there's still 17 guys whose fate is either unreported, though I'm getting a lot, or unknown, and you know they're working their way through it.
So that's a big
it's
one.
Taking
though.
Time. Pat O'Hara is another one. His contract was up, and he's now free. So a couple of these guys are in that manner. I don't think that Pat O'Hara is going to be a hot property on the, unfortunately for him, and Pat's a great guy and has a very cool story, but I don't think he's going to be somebody that's swept up as quickly as some of these other guys have been.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up next. Take your thoughts, as always, your questions on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us here on the program, presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, family owned business that is local to Nashville. And PK, you've got even more news coming on the Titans coaching front.
Jason Outten, the running back coach / run game coordinator, is in play for a potential new job on the new staff, is my understanding. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. And Brandon Lynch, the DC candidate who emerged last night. I can't remember who reported it. Was it I can't remember who reported it. He's only been an NFL coach for 4 seasons, just 2023 as a position coach. So if he's the guy, Brian Callahan, we were talking about this, will be very much going the up-and-comer route. But Blake Bedingfield, scouted the local area at the time and signed, helped sign him in 2004 as an undrafted rookie free agent out of Middle Tennessee. He was here for a year, might have been on the practice squad, didn't play, and then was with the Colts for 2 years before he moved out of his playing days.
Not sure I mean, it's not like I feel like you have to have Dick LeBeau, but I don't know if I love the first-time head coach, first-time play caller, first-time DC combination. That's a lot of up-and-comers, you know, without quote-unquote skins on the wall.
Yeah, and it used to be, and I think things are moving away from this as a rule, but it used to be a lot like MLB, like if you were a young manager, you definitely had as a bench coach a guy
who'd
been
a
manager before. I think a lot of us would feel better about things if somebody on his staff had been a more experienced guy. Now maybe his dad's coming and will be the guy that gives him that gravitas on the staff, and that'll make it feel a little bit better if he's surrounded by young guys. I'd like to go back and look at McVay's original staff. You know, did he have that? But you know, I do agree with that. Like if it's first time in terms of head coach, coordinator. It's a lot of inexperience.
I got to say, though, I've been pretty impressed by what I've seen from Brian Callahan to this point. Now, fully understanding that when it comes to an introductory press conference and things that have nothing to do with actual football being played on the field, it's pretty hard to screw that up.
Yeah, it's not a reaction.
I thought the interview he gave with you guys was outstanding. I really like what seems to be his approach to the game and the philosophy switch that it feels like the Titans are headed towards right now. I think if you're a Titans fan today, you know, regardless of what you think of the Vrabel thing, we've hashed that out. But this hire, I think you can see where the Titans were thinking, and the fact that I think it's been really encouraging in terms of just the philosophical way that he views offensive football has been refreshing to this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's also baked into the cake that you feel good about the football team at this stage when there's turnover. Now, I agree with you. It's kind of extra because of the philosophical differences and the contrasts that you can draw out of Vrabel, all of which we've covered pretty thoroughly, particularly the team that passes best tends to win more, and the idea that there's always scheme. You know, Joe and I talked about this yesterday, the idea that, you know, that Derrick Henry game against Houston where they let him run it 16 times for 9 yards and thought their best chance to win was that Derrick Henry was just going to pop one.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see Brian Callahan going with that strategy when he's saying there's always scheme. He sounds like, I'm going to find something different when something's not working.
By the way, McVay's first staff included John Fassel, special teams coordinator,
Wade Phillips,
the coordinator, and Joe Barry, assistant head coach / linebacker. So he loaded up with old dudes.
Yeah, I should have remembered Wade Phillips.
Also, Zach Taylor, by the way, assistant wide receivers coach.
Wade Phillips. Hey, Wade Zach. Phillips was the quintessential head coach defense.
Right, exactly.
Now, after a couple years, that wore out its welcome, and they parted ways, and I think that was Wade Phillips' last job. Maybe there might have been one more after that. I love Wade Phillips.
I think
Phillips.
He had one more after that, right?
I love Wade Phillips. Yeah. I got to know him a little bit, and he's a terrific guy.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, is Dean Pease available? I mean, bring him back here, you know? I think there's merit to it, but look, you also have to me, it's like
you got to force it.
If you're going all in on someone, then you let them do it. I would expect somewhere in that staff you're going to have folks more of your age, right? I mean, that's kind of what I would think, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the age of Bill Callahan and Mike Munchak.
Yeah, you know, like boomers of your sort.
Yes.
Dude, you're 4 years younger than I am.
That's a lifetime. That's an entire career.
So apparently Rand Carthon is not down there at the Senior Bowl, which is driving Stilly nuts.
A lot of people
and a lot of Titans fans. Oh, yeah. And a lot of Titans fans
so
really upset by the fact that he's not down there.
Stilly.
What do we make of Carthon not being at the Senior Bowl?
Irrelevant. Virtually irrelevant. What's more important, putting together this staff or seeing some players that they'll see again at the Combine that they can watch thorough tape of? I would expect that they've got some scouts down there. Do we like a guy delegating some duties to the people that should have duties delegated to them? I'm sure the words that Stillman heard there were duty. He's probably like Beavis and Butthead having a good time with that right now. The idea of a I don't know if Stillman's ever been to the Senior Bowl. I doubt it. But a lot of times, GMs at the Senior Bowl, when they're standing during practice, are having conversations. I watched Mike Tomlin at a Senior Bowl practice have a conversation with the dude the entire practice. I was standing next to them. He did not have eyes dedicated on what was going on the field. Rod Marinelli, when he got the Detroit job and one of the worst hires of all time, I went and interviewed him for 10 minutes during a Senior Bowl practice.
Yeah, the film's all there. But I will ask, though, what do you know? Like, what's basically the hit rate on – I mean, the Rams don't even go to the Combine. But
also, Terrell Williams, if he's rehired here, he's coaching the Senior Bowl
team.
True.
Yeah, but what is the in general? How many of the GMs around the NFL are at the Senior Bowl? Would you say out of 32, how many are typically there?
Oh, I think probably 27, 28.
Okay,
but I mean, you could shut down Stillman with this. Todd McVay stopped going to the Combine a couple years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that Kyle Shanahan has stopped going. Okay. Now, is Stillman anti-McVay? McVay, who took a not-that-good team back to the playoffs this year? I mean, I'm pretty pro-McVay. I think McVay is a cutting-edge coach in the league. I fear that McVay has started a trend where coaches and GMs find actually being at the combine less important and delegates to his people to go do the interviews and look at the things. If Sean McVay thinks being at the combine where the whole NFL world gathers,
I don't get it.
Isn't that important? I think the Titans can survive Rand Carthon not being at the Senior Bowl one time.
Granted, the Rams did go through a stretch where they traded away every one of their draft picks, so you probably figured, you know what? What the heck's the point in going?
Yeah, bleep
to this
them
thing.
Picks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they
but
had,
later
but
picks
then they
are had more important.
Their draft
too.
Last year was insanely good.
It was
with their head coach not having been at the combine.
Yeah.
But see, to me,
I think it's stupid too. But they did fine.
Yeah. It works. Like I feel like
so eat that. Stilly.
Seems like it seems like you want to interview people at the combine. Like at the combine, I feel like you got to be there, right? Like
just
the interviews
for the
themselves.
Just for the interview.
By the way, Stilly says Ben Johnson is the money thing. So it's all the money. He wanted too much money.
Okay.
There you go. That's what Schefter said. But then Schefter said it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So I don't
mean,
know.
I mean, Stilly's proclaiming that off of reading other people's tweets.
Ah,
he would have you think that he's like got contacts.
No, he claims he talked to somebody.
Well, he knows one agent's son. My God, the way he passes himself off as in the mix.
What do we make of Arthur Smith apparently being hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers as their offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I was talking to some people in Pittsburgh who were asking me what I thought. Here's the one thing I think about Arthur Smith that is important going there is that he is looking at it and will look at further career developments as chances to learn still, right? So he's had a term as a head coach that didn't go well enough for him, and he's going to Pittsburgh eager to learn more from Mike Tomlin. I don't know that would be kind of the attitude that you hear from every guy that was a head coach who gets reduced back to coordinator. I think certainly the things he did here will have a good chance of working with Pittsburgh kind of mentality and personnel, so it's a fit in that regard. You know what they're saying in
Bring
Pittsburgh.
Bring in Tannehill.
You know what they're saying in Pittsburgh.
Tannehill saved the day.
Oh my God, he's buddies with Mike Munchak. If it comes with if it's a 2-for-1 with Mike Munchak, we are all in. I don't really like Arthur Smith, but he knows Mike Munchak. I was on Twitter yesterday.
I mean, that could happen, right?
Looking at the Pittsburgh stuff, it could happen. But I mean, I don't think Arthur Smith is a Mike Munchak magnet.
Yeah.
I think Mike Munchak worked for Mike Tomlin for 4 years, I believe. So the idea that Arthur Smith is the key to the whole thing is kind of silly.
There goes Vrabel's OC, though. If he gets hired somewhere, it's gone. He's got to go pick somebody else.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, I wonder.
Matt LaFleur, you'd approve of that.
Yeah. You'd go take him.
I had somebody ask me from Green Bay, just kind of casually and knowing what my answer was going to be, about the idea of Vrabel as LaFleur's coordinator.
Yeah, D.C.? That'd be awesome.
I had a big laugh about that based on the love fest that goes on. I don't know how LaFleur feels about Vrabel, but it's pretty clear that Vrabel did not love LaFleur's departure for whatever reason, and that there's...
How dare you take the Green Bay Packers head coaching job?
I don't think it's that he took it. I think
they were stunned that he got it.
Yeah, and it's the way somehow that Matt delivered the news, which I don't know. You have to do it in the exact right way, and he didn't. Arthur did deliver the news in the exact right way. But
I need to know the LaFleur, exact right way.
LaFleur did not. Yeah, that would be a good chapter.
Yeah, Arthur spent the whole Baltimore week preparing for an interview. The offense didn't show up in that game. That was fun. 615-737.
He wasn't the only one that didn't show up.
That is true. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution, and Edley's Barbecue, voted Nashville's best barbecue for 2023.
Edley's is just the best place ever. It's a local family-owned business, and it's voted the best barbecue in Nashville for the second year in a row in 2023. What did I tell you? It makes sense because their food's spectacular and their service is second to none. Their goal is to make the world a better place by making people happy, and they're certainly doing just that. If you go there and eat the burnt ends, which is what I do, you'd leave happy, and you think the world is a better place. Go support Nashville's best barbecue at one of Edley's convenient locations, or get Edley's catered for your next event. It's a good time to set up a big game party with Edley's food. You can't go wrong with Edley's. Go check them out. Can I give a message to UT fans?
Of course.
Leave open the possibility that your school did something wrong.
No.
They've done something wrong 2 times
How
before.
How dare you?
Recently. Now, mostly they did something wrong when a guy wearing a babushka who was hired by your venerable I can do no wrong coach who won a national championship. They did something wrong when they hired an idiot. This guy is not an idiot, but it's conceivable that they did something wrong. Some of the stuff, Joe, thank you for blasting a caller. I know you don't like to blast callers and you like to be polite. But when somebody calls in and says that it's an Alabama conspiracy, you got to blast that person. Everyone out there, take a breath.
I want to blast you again, Nate.
And don't automatically conclude that everybody's out to get you. This is the thing you do where you think that the whole world thinks Tennessee's important and everybody needs to knock down Tennessee. Knock them down from what?
They can see they're going to be good, PK. By the way, real quick, Dennis, on a different topic, said LaFleur waved his hands too much when he told Vrabel. Micah.
What are you doing with your hands?
Arthur put his hands by his side when he told me.
He probably
that
did.
That was a terrible Vrabel impersonation.
By the way, on the Tennessee front.
I love you trying impersonations because you've yet to hit one in the time that I've known you.
Oh, I got a
who
few
do
I'm
do
pretty
well.
Good at, I would say there. Don't talk to me about that.
You are like random Boston
more
guy.
More and more like Joe Pesci.
Random Boston guy.
By the way, on the Tennessee front, Pete Thamel put this out there. The attorney generals from Tennessee and Virginia have filed a federal lawsuit against the NCAA that casts the NCAA's name, image, and likeness rules as antitrust violations. So there we go. We knew a lawsuit could be coming, and there it is.
Joe,
in
you
your
might not
face,
have known.
Kuharsky,
I mean,
the Vols do no wrong.
This is perfect for you because you're just getting to a time where you had nothing to write about. and now you can out wrestle. Why?
I was hoping to do like 8 individual Titans mock drafts. I mean, I'm only going to get to do like 4 now.
Seriously, this is perfect for you.
Do you do any mock drafts at PaulKersky.com? You ever do a mock draft?
No, Blake.
Blake will do them?
Blake will do one.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. Mike Herndon might do one this year. But I have no interest in doing a mock draft. I have no interest in the needs of the Denver Broncos. I really don't.
Well, you could do just a Titans mock draft.
Oh, I don't. That's dumb. After the second round, the idea that I would know who's available and what the Titans are going to do.
They should take Marvin
Harris.
Fourth
round is incredibly stupid concept.
I've seen some Titans fan ones that have Marvin Harris going to say, like, yeah.
You like he's going to be there, man.
Yeah, he might want
you to. Shouldn't do it either. Pretend like you know what's going to happen in the fourth round. Don't endorse the idea that this is good reading.
Sometimes I'm told what to do.
Yeah. Sometimes
I'm not
you
my
should,
own boss
should,
like you.
I know. Sometimes you should tell your boss, like, hey, let's have a conversation about this. Here's what I could do that's more interesting and better.
Subscribe to The Athletic.
I've got a subscription to The
Athletic.
Thank
you for
Wes.
Thank you to Wes, by the way, earlier.
But The Athletic,
love you, man. Love you.
The Athletic made a huge mistake letting its Yankees writer go, Lindsay Adler. She went to the Wall Street Journal, where I don't see anything anymore, and they should have done everything they could have to keep her.
So a lot of conversation, and I'm sure you guys have probably touched on this a little bit, a lot of conversation that I've seen from Titans fans about some of Callahan's answers as it relates to, you know, obviously the situation in Cincinnati where they took Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell, and the idea of, you know, he likes people that score touchdowns and puts the ball in the end zone to score points. Obviously, at 7 overall, you've got a chance, you would think, to take a tackle if you're the Titans, and you would think, whether it's a Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze or whoever it would be, there could be a receiver sitting there as well, especially with the quarterbacks that are expected to go. So did you guys read anything into that in terms of how that relates to the Titans? Are people blowing that out of proportion on Titans Twitter? What do you make of Callahan's approach and what that could mean for their first overall pick or for their first pick in the first round for the Titans coming up at 7th overall?
Well, it's too early to know how much that will inform what they do. But and the decision maker was pretty enthusiastic about what the Titans had at the on the offensive line. If they had just stayed healthy, Robbie, yeah. they would have built a chemistry that would have been an electrical charge that would have shocked any pass rusher who dared get near Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis. I mean, this is a massive problem at left tackle. Could they draft a wide receiver in the first round? Sure. Then it would dictate that they absolutely had to draft a left tackle in the second round with no third-round pick. So I think that's going to be the combination, leaving cornerback out until the fourth. But I can't believe I'm saying this, having covered this team since Houston and seeing 4 legitimate receivers in my time in Mason, Bennett, Nate Washington, and A.J. Brown, really. I mean, I know there have been others who've had some success. But for a franchise to be so broken at that position for so long, and for me to say they've got to have a left tackle at 7, it pains me. But I think they've got to have a left tackle at 7 if the 2 top left tackles are there.
Are you a big board believer?
I whatever I believe is overruled by what I've seen at left tackle in the last 2 years.
Because, you know, if you are a straight-up big board believer and the Titans, like, Roma Dunze is the best player we have on our board.
Yeah.
Just a better – he's higher on our big board than Joe Alt is. So you either do that or, you know, some people believe if you don't go by that and you let need creep in, then you're just not going to have a good enough roster long-term.
Everybody drafts for need. Everybody.
Oh, I don't doubt that. But there are times when it's one or the other, and which one do you choose? And sometimes people do choose the big board.
Well, if you're choosing the big board, it's only because your big board tells you in the second there's going to be a left tackle who's good enough to come in and start. And I don't know enough about the depth of left tackle.
There are a lot of tackles in the draft.
In the early 30s.
Well, mid-30s. With all that being said, and I agree, like, to me, especially if Joe Alt's there, you got to go that way. Another thing that Callahan said that I really liked was, I mean, there are some schematic things you can do to help out your offensive line. Not saying that you shouldn't take a left tackle because he said that, but it was like too often I think we got into this, well, there's nothing they can do about it, and the talent is that bad, and it is. But Cincinnati had a bad offensive line too. They got to the Super Bowl, and they had an all-star quarterback, obviously. They had an unbelievable weapon at wide receiver, two unbelievable weapons in Chase and Higgins, and that's the background that he comes from. So he's worked with bad offensive lines and has gotten them to within one win of winning a championship.
I agree with that response. You're saying entirely. But I don't know that they're going to come out and say it, but I don't know why they feel the need to protect Dennis Daly and Andre Dillard. And I would love to hear them be candid and transparent and say, we need better talent on the offensive line.
Correct.
To start with. All of these other things I'm talking about, yeah, supplementally we can get around not great offensive line play when we need to. But our talent on the offensive line in the last 2 years has been insufficient, and that's a problem that we need to address, period.
Two quick responses for you. Stilly on my text line says, Tomlin, Marinelli, McVay, they're a head coach, not GM.
You said that already. How many times are you going to read Stilly's
text to you? I said that off air, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stilly's got his own head together.
Let Stilly talk on his show.
All right, and Nate has responded. He says, sounds like PK thinks Bama can do no wrong. Saban was 100% clean during his time there. Yeah, right. Is that what you're saying, PK?
Dude, nobody hates Nick Saban more than I do. But Tennessee is not persecuted. Like, people make it like, hey, they got to knock down Tennessee. I just can't stand Tennessee being so good. When's Tennessee been good?
They won the Cheez-It Bowl, Paul.
I mean, if they're picking a team to knock down, why would it be Tennessee? Why? Because they don't like orange?
Ball Twitter.
Because they
don't like checkers?
Because
they don't like dogs?
Ball Twitter.
And if you're picking a mascot, a tick hound?
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Like, because the genius statements like that, they say, that guy is such a genius. We need to knock him and his people down.
It's so clear, and yet you won't see it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program, presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, a family-owned business that is local to Nashville.
A lot of people are saying that you guys are really under the gun the next 2 days, the first 2 days of the week, that I won't be here at all. Big test for you guys. I think you'll pass.
I think you'll pass. Word on the street, says Paul Kuharsky.
A lot of people are saying it. A lot of people.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. Just be careful. Good luck.
We will.
Step carefully.
Are you annoyed yet by the Chiefs, Paul, as an average, watching the them just win continuously?
Like, it's a terrible situation for me because I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy, but then I'm annoyed at Lamar Jackson's failure, which I fully expected. So you get all twisted up there. And I'm not a big rooter of games, but then when I choose to pick to root in a game and it doesn't go the direction I want, I get very annoyed.
So you're still haven't gotten your reactions, Robbie, to both Dan Campbell, and it's another firestorm of argument against, like, the Chris Russos screaming about
the
analytics nerds, and then, you know, and also the Lamar Jackson, you know, takes from that one.
Well, it was bad. There's no doubt about that. I mean, first off, the Chiefs defense has been legit all year, and I think they proved it again. I think everybody thinks there's like some giant conspiracy theory out there that the Chiefs get all the calls, and I don't think that's true at all.
It's about Taylor Swift. Duh.
Yeah, apparently so. I just thought it was a team. First off, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Zay Flowers is a moron in that game, and he cost them. I'm not going to say he cost them the game, but he cost them a shot at it.
I'd love to see what happens.
I mean, look, you don't do that stupid taunting penalty, and you catch the next pass, you're in the end zone. You're not having to go reach for the ball because you're 10 yards closer to the end zone there. So I thought it was incredibly stupid by Zay Flowers. Lamar did not play well. There's no question about that. And I thought, just watching the game, when they got behind, there was panic that set in that the Chiefs just don't have. And that's kind of the difference between a team that's been there before and a team that hasn't. The Dan Campbell stuff, I thought, I'm okay with it the first time. After it doesn't work the first time, take the points, man.
Yeah, tie the game.
I understand it's Michael Badgley, and I get all that.
But he's actually kicked
he's an
well.
NFL kicker. He's kicked well. Take the points. Yeah. Ended up mattering pretty heavily.
His last kick over 40 outdoors was over a year ago. So all this, he's kicked well. He's kicked well.
But his previous, he had been on a good run. He had a terrible year, which all his numbers went down. I mean, he made a 54-yarder the year before, the week before. Yes, it was indoors, but it was also perfect conditions outdoors. So a 54-yarder that you just made, I'd feel okay about you making a 47-yarder or 45-yarder.
I thought for sure they were going to win, though, man. When they're up 24-7, I was like, this is it. They're going to the Super Bowl.
And now everybody understands.
Don't block the box. Please lock your locks. And don't stand for this persecution of Tennessee. They wouldn't do this to Boston College, to Oregon, to UCLA. Stand up and fight.
Saban did it.
Fight against this persecution.
That does it for us today here on the program. Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
See ya.